Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today.
Ronald Reagan cut taxes, cut government spending, and gave us peace through strength. Now you can celebrate this great president with a limited run, half-ounce silver coin from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. All qualified listeners who visit HannityGold.com this week will get a free Ronald Reagan half-ounce silver coin. So go to HannityGold.com and get yours free while supplies last. That's HannityGold.com.
Hey, what if your home's title, which is the legal document that proves you own your home, is in some criminal's name? Well, that's called home title theft, and criminals all over the world can find your home's title online, and then they'll forge your signature, they'll take out loans against your home, or even worse, sell your home. Now, how do you know some criminal's not taking over the title to your home? You can find out with sign up at HomeTitleLock.com and use the promo code Sean, S-E-A-N.
Right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show. Toll free, it's 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. You know, all of the last 2 years, I've been talking about the emergence of this new axis of evil, and that is the relationships, the partnerships with China and Russia and Iran. And what's fascinating now is all three countries now are undergoing social unrest. In the case of Russia, it's, you know, Vladimir Putin trying to draft or conscript everybody, any warm body, into fighting this insane war that he's not been doing well in Ukraine. In Iran, it is the death of a woman in prison that has sparked all around the country deep unrest within the country of Iran, unlike anything we've seen, maybe even since 1979, although we're not getting enough video out of it. We're watching China, you know, in the middle of these draconian COVID lockdowns. You have Chinese citizens now taken to the streets, and it's gotten so interesting that they actually want to get rid of President Xi. And where this ends, I don't know, but it's certainly fascinating to watch. Will that eventually happen? I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball, but it's definitely worth paying attention to. So as a result, all three have been, we see Putin now is in hiding, afraid that he's going to get assassinated. President Xi is experiencing something he never had to deal with before and calls for him to be removed from office and calls for the Ayatollahs and the Mullahs to be removed from office. So it's getting pretty interesting here. Anyway, so Anthony Fauci, let me go to the COVID aspect of this virus. He said on the COVID lab theory, I have a completely open mind. That's not what he has been saying all along. Just like when he said, if you get the vaccine, you'll never get COVID. Okay, I know people that got the vaccine and not one booster, but two boosters and three boosters. I don't know. How many boosters are they up to now, Linda? Because I never got
five.
A booster. Yeah, whatever. I'm about to go to number five. Great. You know, I know more people that got boosted and 3 weeks later end up with COVID. It's unreal. And I'll never trust these people again. They don't deserve our trust. Now, we do know that the NIH did give money to what's known as the Eco Alliance that did funnel that money to the Wuhan, China virology lab. They knew that gain of function research took place in that lab, and they knew that coronavirus research took place in that lab. And that's why those there in early, when was it, 2020, Anthony Fauci with the top ranking people within the NIH that gave the grant to the Eco Alliance, which gave the money to the Wuhan virology lab. You know, there was a flurry of activity of them going back and forth because they knew damn well that some of their money may have gone to fund the research into the origins of this virus. Now, Fauci is saying publicly he doesn't care if he gets called to Congress. He's fine with that. No problem. I have a completely open mind. And then he says it's Donald Trump's fault that the Chinese weren't cooperative in the COVID probe. No, the Chinese government weren't going to let anybody go in there and find out what really had happened here. But it's interesting as China is now tightening security all over the country because of the protests against these draconian shutdown measures. So, you know, how this ultimately plays out, I don't know. I know on Monday, earlier today, police were stopping and searching people at sites of weekend protests in Shanghai and Beijing after crowds there and other cities were demonstrating these draconian shutdowns. And you have from the streets of many Chinese cities, dozens of university campuses, protesters now made, you know, one show of civil disobedience after another. And many now want President Xi overthrown. Now, do they have the power to do so? Not really. You can't win a revolution with a slingshot. And the same would be applicable to Iran, and the same would be applicable to Russia. The only thing that could happen in Russia is somebody that wants power from Putin could probably take out Putin if they're in close proximity to him, which probably explains away why he has this high level of paranoia. Anyway, joining us to weigh in, especially on the issue of China, is Gordon Chang. He is the author of The Coming Collapse of China and the Great U.S.-China Tech War. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, Sean, and thank you so much.
I'd argue militarily that the communist Chinese have been out-militarizing us now for a longer period of time than anyone really wants to acknowledge. I think they have been building and building up the toughest military to compete with us as they possibly can. We've seen that with their hypersonic missiles. They keep saber-rattling when it comes to Taiwan, or what they call reunification with Taiwan. And then, of course, no information regarding the origins of COVID-19. Where do you think this all stands?
Well, you're absolutely right about that. And Xi Jinping is not only engaged in the fastest military buildup since the Second World War, he's also mobilizing Chinese civilian society. A Chinese entrepreneur who was making civilian products in the medical sector told me that Communist Party cadres actually came to him and ordered that he switch production so that he could be making things for the Chinese military. And he said that other entrepreneurs had received similar directives from the Communist Party, and that the Communist Party was actually operating a number of factories because factory owners didn't want to stick around, so they abandoned their properties. So we see that it's the militarization of the entire Chinese society, and President Biden does not want to recognize that. There is no sense of urgency in the White House, and there's no sense of urgency in the Pentagon either, especially among the 3 and 4 stars. So this is a very dangerous situation for us.
I think it's dangerous also for the world. Do you think there's any possibility at all, any scenario under which you can see President Xi ceding power or being taken out?
Yes, I actually do. And the reason is that and I agree with you, the protesters don't even have slingshots. But we do know that there is widespread dissatisfaction, anger, resentment against Xi Jinping. And it was extraordinary over the weekend that you had protesters in major Chinese cities calling for him to leave and calling for the Communist Party to be overthrown. You know, we haven't heard rhetoric like that in 3 decades. And even in the Tiananmen...
What would be the latest example, Tiananmen Square?
Tiananmen Square, but very few of the Tiananmen protesters called for the destruction of the Communist Party. They wanted the party to liberalize so that there would be more room for freedom of expression. You'd have to go back to 1949 to find a similar situation. That's when the communists took over China. And they took over China from a superior Chiang Kai-shek's nationalist party. And the reason that the communists were able to prevail against a much stronger foe is because the nationalists had lost people's hearts, as a famous Chinese historian has put it. So really what we're talking about is today the Communist Party has lost hearts. They can coerce people, they can intimidate people, they can put people in jail. But eventually I think the Chinese people are going to get rid of Xi Jinping.
That's going to be fascinating to see how that unfolds. What do we know about the military now? We know that about unfair trade practices. We know about intellectual property theft. We know that we very stupidly have been too reliant on China for key aspects of our manufacturing. For example, these chips that are also important for cars, which is one of the reasons that manufacturers can't build the cars to the extent that demand is calling for it. But we've allowed that to happen. How intertwined are we with them, and are we making any progress detangling our economic futures with them?
Well, we're making a fair amount of progress. President Trump in 2018 imposed those tariffs. Those were for the remedy of theft of intellectual property. But what those Section 301 tariffs also did was convince manufacturers that they had to diversify their sources of supply. In other words, diversifying out of China. And recently, and this goes back, let's say, 6 months or so, we have seen a lot of companies move to Mexico, move out of China, because they're really concerned. They're concerned about the COVID lockdowns. They're concerned about Xi Jinping causing troubles with the neighbors and with the United States. And they're concerned that the manufacturing environment in China just is generally not good. So we're seeing some disentangling. Now, President Biden has actually supported Communist Party in the sense of taking a number of actions that have convinced manufacturers they don't have to move. But we're also seeing manufacturers can read the handwriting on the wall. So this is a good trend for us, and I hope that the president can actually start to get on board on this.
You know, there has been this sentiment. Do you think, look, I know the wet market theory that you have these exotic animals that are consumed by people. For example, why anybody would ever eat a bat, I don't know. But, you know, different cultures have, you know, different palates, different tastes. I don't make any judgments about it. I don't really care what people eat. You know, people may make fun of the fact that we eat turkey and chicken and pork and cows, right? However, it never seemed like a viable theory, but our government wanted to cling to that belief, or some in our government wanted to cling to that belief, when the most obvious, the area that we should be most obviously searching for the origins of COVID would be the Wuhan virology lab. But that then puts in, you know, in our sights, the actions of the NIH run under Dr. Anthony Fauci, which many Democrats have never wanted to go, you know, do or never wanted to go to that area.
Yeah, you put your finger on it. We've had a government now since 2021, January 20, which has purposefully not raised the issue of the origins of COVID-19. You know, Biden did not raise it when he saw Xi Jinping on the sidelines of the G20 this month, and he didn't raise it in his five previous video or phone calls with the Chinese leader. He just does not want to talk about it. But as of this morning, Sean, we're talking about 1,079,000 Americans have died from this disease, according to the Johns Hopkins Coronavirus Resource Center. And there's one other thing that we know, Sean. I actually think that this coronavirus came from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. It was a military program. But there's something that we know 100%. We know that 100% that once this disease got out into Chinese society, Xi Jinping deliberately spread it beyond China's borders. He turned it into a biological weapon if it wasn't started out life as one. He lied about contagiousness. He told the Trump administration, don't worry, it's not contagious at all, when they knew it was highly transmissible human to human. And while they were locking down their own country, they were pressuring us to take arrivals from China without restrictions. You put those two
together. It's even one step worse than that. And you're the only other person besides myself that has picked up on this. Remember, China had the first travel ban. It wasn't Donald Trump's travel ban. And their travel ban was, if you're living in Wuhan, you could not travel to any other part of China. You couldn't leave Wuhan, but you could leave Wuhan and go anywhere else in the world. That, to me, reveals everything we needed to know about the communist Chinese. They didn't care. They knew what was going on there. They protected their country from the spread, or the rest of the country from the spread, and they had no concern about people in Wuhan bringing COVID with them all over the world.
Absolutely. And that means the 6,600,000 people who have died from this disease outside China, all of them have been murdered. We should consider them, all of them, victims of the murder.
Unreal. All right. We appreciate your time. Gordon Chang, thank you as always. 800-941-SHAWN is our number if you want to be a part of the program.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie, because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Justin Richmond, host of the Broken Record Podcast. Join me and co-host Leah Rose for in-depth creative conversations with the artists you love. Over the past 5 years, we've interviewed some of the most legendary figures in music, like Paul Simon, Pharrell, Damon Albarn, Andre 3000, and Usher. And you'll hear from rock icons like Pete Townsend, who shares wild stories about his formative years with The Who, and Johnny Marr, the legendary guitarist and co-founder of The Smiths, who has an unwavering devotion to his craft. Or the stories behind the legendary hits Babyface wrote for Whitney Houston and Madonna, plus how he collaborates with the new generation of R&B stars like Kehlani and Doechii. Listen to Broken Record on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Justin Richmond, host of the Broken Record Podcast. Join me and co-host Leah Rose for in-depth creative conversations with the artists you love. Over the past 5 years, we've interviewed some of the most legendary figures in music, like Paul Simon, Pharrell, Damon Albarn, Andre 3000, and Usher. And you'll hear from rock icons like Pete Townsend, who shares wild stories about his formative years with The Who, and Johnny Marr, the legendary guitarist and co-founder of The Smiths, who has an unwavering devotion to his craft. Or the stories behind the legendary hits Babyface wrote for Whitney Houston and Madonna, plus how he collaborates with the new generation of R&B stars like Kehlani and Doechii. Listen to Broken Record on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hit it
busy phones. It is Piper in Ohio. Piper, hi. How are you? And welcome aboard. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
Oh, yes, definitely. Hi, how you doing, Mr. Sean? It's a pleasure to speak to you.
The pleasure is all mine. What's happening?
Yes, so, you know, one of the things I wanted to talk about is, you know, Trump's reinstatement on Twitter. It is just amazing how, so far, people on the left are melting down, you know, going crazy, saying the most egregious statement, making the most egregious statements on Trump's reinstatement. You know, I thought, you know, people on the left are pro-democracy and pro freedom of speech until it comes down to somebody that they don't agree with and they want them banned definitively. It's crazy. They're hypocrisy.
Listen, I'm going to be honest. I'm enjoying watching the left meltdown over Elon Musk. Elon Musk said this weekend that millions of people are joining every day. And so it's funny that all the attention that he's garnering by being provocative, I just find him highly intelligent. And he loves to, you know, poke people around a little bit and stir the pot. And to me, it's just entertaining because people are bubbling and fizzing and giving off all their energy and exerting kind of like the Trump thing, the same phony outrage over everything Elon Musk says and does. He doesn't seem too nervous to me that he's lost, you know, apparently billions of dollars. You know, corporations as big as his go through these ups and downs. It's not a surprise. He paid an awful lot of money for it. I don't think Trump is going to get back on. It would be my guess because he's got his Truth Social site for himself. So why would he?
No, of course,
you know, once AOC announced she didn't want to pay the $8 for the blue check mark, I had somebody tweet out on my team that I'll be gladly pay the $8 now that all the liberals are going to leave.
Of course. And one more thing I want to say, you have Adam Schiff, you know, making these statements on how he should not be reinstated and how it was a mistake of Elon Musk. But again, I thought Democrats were for the Constitution and for the First Amendment, you know, to freedom of speech. So
let me ask you this. If it was 3 weeks before an election and a laptop of one of the Trump kids had incriminating information on it, and that story was written by, oh, I don't know, maybe the New York Times, do you think social media companies would have banned the sharing of that article? You think without knowing anything about it?
Oh, no, not at all. In fact, you'll see the Democrats go to, you know, one of the Trump children's house and arrest them themselves.
Listen, crazy. I can see all of that happening. Who knows? I mean, they just have lost their mind. Anyway, my friend, appreciate it. Got to take a quick break. We'll come back. 800-941-SEAN, our number if you want to be a part of the program as we continue.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, 25 till the top of the hour. I love it. This happens almost after every single election. Things that the Democrats really believe in, really want to advance, really care the most about start coming out. And last week we got a glimpse into it with Chuck Schumer saying that he wants amnesty for all these illegal immigrants in the country. Why didn't he say that the week before the election? Why didn't all Democrats run on it, considering I bet they'll all vote for it? It's pretty transparent what they're trying to do. Now Joe Biden goes out again post-election. He's not going to say it before the election. How he wants to get rid of assault weapons. Listen.
The idea we still allow semi-automatic weapons to be purchased is sick. It's sick. It has no social redeeming value. Zero. None. Not a single solitary rationale for it except profit for the gun manufacturer.
Can you do anything about gun laws during the lame duck, sir?
I'm going to try.
What will you try and do?
I'm going to try to get rid of assault weapons.
I'm going to try. What are you? Hell yeah, we're coming for your AK-47s. Then Beto Bozo, you know, tries to tell the people of Texas, oh, no, I'm really believing your Second Amendment rights. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. Anyway, Tom is in the great city of Pittsburgh. Tom, hi, how are you? Glad you called.
Hey, Sean, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I think I'm going to be a little bit more single-minded here. I'm a 40-year radio broadcaster, as was my father before me. And I have to say,
What kind of format did you work in?
I worked them all, mostly music, but I did my own talk shows. I want to commend you on your broadcasting up to the midterm election. I caught you a couple of times, then every time I caught you, you were trying to keep it a level playing field with your listeners, telling them like these races were extremely close. You might be looking at a red wave, but in your opinion, you might want to be a little bit more conservative about that viewpoint. And as it turned out, you were exactly right. I just want to thank you from a broadcasting point of view for keeping it real, because I didn't hear anybody else doing that. They're all preaching red wave. We're going to win. We're going to do this. And you brought everybody down to.
Yeah. I mean, there was an over exuberance that actually was making me nervous, to be very blunt.
Yeah.
Look, I've had more time to think about this, and I want to run this by you, and you tell me if you agree or don't agree. Whether we want to admit this or not, there are a lot of people in this country that buy into this leftist New Green Deal, cradle to grave, womb to the tomb version of New Green Deal socialism. Way more than we may think. For example, we did see a lot of young people vote, and I think one of the reasons your younger people vote was because they thought they were going to get their student loans forgiven. I really believe that. Then, of course, abortion was the big issue that some people worried about, and that became a big issue. And a lot of states had abortion referendums on the state ballot. The second thing we've got to look at, and Georgia needs to be looking at it now, and I'm not sure they're going to pay attention to this, and they need to. If Warnock goes into Election Day, you know, with 300,000-400,000 vote lead, probably mathematically it's impossible for Herschel to catch up at that point. And there is this reluctance and resistance that Republicans and conservatives have towards the current voting system, which is early voting, voting by mail, et cetera, et cetera. And unless you start playing this game the way the Democrats are playing, you're going to continue to lose. Now, one last thing, and I promise you're going to get as much time as you want to respond, is this what I call accelerated migration. Baby boomers now coming to age, they want to leave and retire, go to warmer weather, less taxes, less bureaucracy. And then accelerated it even further by COVID lockdowns, shutdowns. They want their kids to have in-person learning. And states like Florida, the Carolinas, Tennessee, and Texas, they're seeing massive amounts of people move into their states, the majority of which are coming from the Northeast and the Midwest. That makes all of these states now harder to win if a Republican is running for president. You know, how do you get to 270? We're now officially facing a math problem to electing a Republican president. It's not impossible. I'm saying it's hard. I appreciate you noticing it, but every single, you know, race that we were watching and covering, I knew these were all bellwether states. I knew the voting had changed, probably is going to be that way for a longer time than any of us want, but it certainly is not an advantage for us. How do we win the popular vote and not win more seats? Anyway, I'll give it over to you.
Well, I have to tell you, that's a lot to unpack, and I can see you doing that every day. I watch both of your shows, and I'm not sure that voters right now really understand what they're dealing with. Not in a large procession type of outlook over it. You tell somebody, "Hey, we're going to forgive your student loan debt." Boom, you're my man. I'm not even thinking about any of the other things that might cancel you out because you're not being fair about them. And that's going to go for, I think it's going to boil down to the education of the voter. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm an independent voter. I like to walk down the middle of the aisle and say, "Hey, you know, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. Or that's a bad idea." And, but I pay attention. It's educating the voter. It's getting them out there. You said you had a lot of younger voters. I'm telling you, they only voted because they can vote now. And there was one thing on the ballot that they were worried about, and they got it from this person. That's it. They're not really as educated as you need them to be.
They're believing the lie that abortion is outlawed in America. That's not true. They're believing that Joe Biden has the power constitutionally, and he's now lost twice in the courts, but he's holding it out yet again, student loan forgiveness. It will never be upheld as constitutional. I don't see it happening. And then, of course, the scare granny with the, you know, Obama and Clinton's and Biden's out there, you know, talking about MAGA Republicans wanting to steal your Social Security, your Medicare, and take away VA benefits, none of which any Republican is running on. So, you know, unfortunately, these tactics work, which is why they use the same playbook every election year.
Well, take all of that and then add in a huge media monster that in 1996, when Bill Clinton signed over the Telecommunications Act and allowed all of the stations, radio and television, to pick a side, you got a lot of that picking the Democratic side because that was where they were getting paid. You know,
besides Fox Talk Radio and a few other outlets, it's pretty much all dominated by the left. I mean, I would argue the dearth of outlets available for people with my opinions has greatly contributed to, if you want to say I have any success that I've had or am able to have. It's because people are seeking out alternative forms of information. You know, and it is interesting to look at demographics. I mean, the number of liberals that watch Hannity, the TV show, you'd be shocked. I was shocked by it.
Yeah,
I did not expect, but in their minds, they want to know what the enemy is thinking. I guarantee you that's the thought process.
Well, I think that they also want to find a place that tells the truth. I fact checked you before. I can't think of anything that you've lied about or that you've gone out of your way
to.
Well,
I appreciate your kind words. Are you still broadcasting it? And I bet your dad was proud you went into broadcasting. Although I will tell you, I'd never wanted my kids to go into broadcasting ever.
Yeah, I don't either. But my dad did. Did you ever hear the electric weenie?
The electric what?
The electric weenie. It was a joke sheet that my dad sent out to all the morning disc jockeys all over America.
A morning joke sheet that's sent all over the country. I have seen them. I don't remember the names of them, but I have seen them.
My dad's was the first.
Oh, really? How cool is that?
Yeah, he won the...
It's like Scott Shannon is retiring. I called him. I said, but you can't retire from my show. And he said, Hannity, I'm not retiring until they put me in a box. You know?
Right. I remember that.
He's had an amazing career. Yeah. He actually invented Morning Zoo Radio. And it's a great... If you haven't seen it, it's really... If you love broadcasting, you're going to love... I think it's called From Last to First. But you can find it if you look at the Scott Shannon story. They did a biography on him. It is an incredible, incredible story if you like broadcasting.
Do you talk to Scott?
It's called Worst to First. Linda's correcting me in my ear. From Worst to First. That actually happened. And,
Scott Shannon gave my father his first. He won the Top Radio Personality Award in 1971 with Billboard Magazine. Scott Shannon gave that to him on stage in L.A. So, yeah, I know quite a bit about Scott. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the honors in my life is I got to induct Scott Shannon into the Radio Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Well, he deserved it.
He did. All right. God bless you, my friend. Tom in Pittsburgh, thanks for checking in. I hope it sounds like you're retired. I hope you're enjoying it.
Final Hour Roundup is next. You do not want to miss it. And stay tuned for the Final Hour free-for-all on the Sean Hannity Show.
Let's get back to our busy phones. Let's say hi to Russ is in Ohio. Russ, hi. How are you? Glad you called.
Hey, Sean. Longtime listener back to Hannity and Combs Day.
Well, welcome aboard, sir.
I want to talk about COVID. Last year, about Sunday or Monday before Thanksgiving, my wife started getting flu-like symptoms. She has diabetes and other health complications. She was double vaxxed. I've never received the vaccine for religious objection reasons, but she went and got tested. And on Wednesday before Thanksgiving, she came back positive for COVID. So I called a nurse practitioner friend of mine who works for a Christian doctor, because I knew not to call my regular doctor. I already knew. So told him what was going on, and on Thanksgiving Day, this doctor called back and took my wife, did a telehealth with me and my wife, had us send him over our meds, which we had on our phones, and then he ordered monoclonal infusions, which we got on Saturday, and then he ordered hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin. Mm-hmm. Neither of our, we both use different main pharmacies, big name pharmacies. Neither of those would fill the hydroxy. So we found an independent pharmacy. Yeah. We found an independent pharmacy in our area who agreed to fill it. So on Tuesday we started, and I'd never had any symptoms, but even though I was around her for several days, but he told us to quarantine and had us both follow the same protocol. And we both got the infusions and we started the hydroxy and the azithromycin. And he also had us add zinc, D3, and vitamin C, We started those on Tuesday, and in 2 days, my wife's symptoms were completely gone, and I never got any symptoms at all.
And you probably never got it. It might have prevented you from getting it. Listen, to me, and again, I'm not a doctor, but the monoclonal antibodies, they're harder and harder to find. I'm glad you were able to get them. And there are different ones for different variants. The other thing that, and there are numerous studies that came out that showed, yeah, taken early, hydroxy does mitigate some of the symptoms. And then they have Paxlovid, which is now available. The only downside with Paxlovid, and this, by the way, happened to Fauci, it happened to Jill and Joe Biden, is that, you know, you'll test negative in 5 days, and then 5 or 6 days or 7 days after that, you'll be positive again. It's called a rebound. And most of the people I know will either get another run of the Paxlovid or they'll just wait it out and build up natural immunity. It's a shame most people don't know all of this. If I ever tried to count, Linda, you can back me up on this, the number of hours I have spent trying to help people get information that should have been made readily available in terms of therapeutics, monoclonal antibodies, now Paxlovid, et cetera. Linda, how many? I mean, I've spent days
endless.
Of my life trying
to
help.
It was endless,
people.
Constant and endless, and it was really sad.
And people would call all the time. What's that thing Hannity said? Mononucleosis?
Let me tell you something. There was no sadder moment than around this time last year when you did the below the lines thing and we just like went through every single caller and you said, what do I say? And not one person knew. Because I was like, people know, we say it all the time. It's enough. And you're like, oh, really? Okay, let's try it. And you were right. Nobody knew.
You know, people will say, well, Hannity, you get repetitive because if I didn't say, if I say it once, it's just going to disappear in the ether. You know, maybe a few people will pick it up. But if I mentioned monoclonal antibodies when nobody else was talking about therapeutics and say it over and over and over again on purpose, I'm not saying it just to hear myself talk, but it takes, you know, weeks and months for it to really become part of the lexicon of an audience to understand yep. exactly what I'm talking about. And I just wanted this audience in particular, I wanted you to be armed with information that was not readily available. But then consult with your doctors, and make a decision based on your own medical condition. But
and it also
listen,
wasn't being promoted anywhere else.
I will tell you that the latest variants have not been as lethal as the Alpha variant, the original variant. But you know what? It's a virus. They mutate. And you can get one that will be even stronger than the first one at some point. We're not done with this, unfortunately. I wish we were. Anyway, appreciate the call, my friend. God bless you. 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of the program.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.